During this last term, we've been looking at our basis of faith, and today we come to the penultimate item in our basis of faith, and it's just timed right for this Sunday in Advent, because it reads like this, under the heading, Christ's Return as the Triumph of Grace. We look forward expectantly to the final manifestation of Christ's grace and glory when he comes again to raise the dead, judge the world, vindicate his chosen, and bring his kingdom to its eternal fulfillment in the new heaven and the new earth. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are a speaking God, and in love you speak to us. May we hear your voice this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I think there's absolutely no point to faith in God unless there's an end game which completes God's image in which we were created and the transformation promise to complete in us the work begun by the Holy Spirit on the day of Jesus Christ. And that's the promise in Philippians 1 verse 6. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Christ. You see, we are made to be the holy people of God, full of grace and truth. I chose the reading from Matthew and 1 Thessalonians this morning because they tell us that however bad things appear in the world, these are to be expected signs of the state of humanity before Jesus Christ returns in fulfillment of his promise and the word of prophecy as we read it in Scripture. That these signs would be like they were in the days of Noah when God found just one righteous man before washing the world clean and beginning again. And I think it's important to remind ourselves, some of you have heard me say this a couple of times recently, about the flood, you know, and certainly some of the cartoon Bibles that I had as a child were pretty horrific, with those trying to get in the boat, you know, after the door was shut. And I don't know where your imagination goes and think about what is often portrayed as an Old Testament God who's vindictive and horrible. But, do you know, when you read the Hebrew, you get something entirely different. Because when it started to rain and God had closed the door, it says simply that he took their breath away. How merciful is our God, and washed the earth clean to start again. You see, because all those he washed away are also made in his image. And God loves them too. So I think that's important for us to remember sometimes about the mercy of God, who's a God of love. And we may struggle listening to the news, and we don't know those nameless thousands, but God knows each one by name. See, we are made to be the holy people of God, full of grace and truth. The return of Jesus and the new creation of heaven and earth are as certain as God's word to Noah about the flood, and certain as all the other prophecies in the biblical story, many of which we know have already been fulfilled. And this because at the heart of God's love for the crown of his creation is that we are to be the holy people of God, full of grace and truth. Good news would not be good news without an event, something that has happened which will bring about a new reality that is good for us. What God has done in and through Jesus, his incarnation, God taking on human form, and then dying for us and being raised to new life, making it possible for us to be restored in relationship to God, so that we may be fully present with Him. That's what's happened in Jesus. And how do we know this? Jesus' resurrection from the dead is evidence that death is not the final reality. Furthermore, since Adam and Eve were banished from the presence of God, no person has been able to stand in the presence of God. But now that Jesus had ascended into heaven, He is received as a human representative. A human person now stands in the presence of God, so that we may be the holy people of God, full of grace and truth. What will happen is a future event, but in God's great economy, He has broken into our present reality with a far greater reality of the kingdom of God. That's why the kingdom of God is good news for today as well as in the future. The time between what has been accomplished by Jesus and what will be accomplished when those who are in Christ come into the presence of God is an advent, a waiting in faith for that new reality to come to pass. And while we wait, we have God's presence breaking into our world, present in His people, a foretaste of what is to come. We see a great reversal going on in the world, particularly in the church amongst the poor, who have nothing other than the name of Jesus to call upon, who feeds the hungry and gives shelter to those without shelter, and raises people from the dead, and gives healing in body as well as in mind to His people. We are made to be a people, a holy people of God, full of grace and truth. And we will be filled now by grace and truth, to the extent that Jesus is Lord of our lives. The encouraging thing for us is that He who's begun a good work in us, wherever we've got to, has promised to bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. It's God's word to us. You can be glad that however many times you fail and feel you're letting down God, you know, you stand with Paul, who says, the Apostle Paul, who says, you know, the very thing I want to do, I find myself doing the opposite. There's this battle going on inside me. But you are already marked in Christ, by the blood of Christ. You stand redeemed people whom God is completing His work in you on the day of Jesus Christ. What God is doing now for all who come in repentance and faith and acknowledge the saving gift of Jesus through His body and blood, receive it for themselves, are made ready to enter into the very presence of God as holy people of God, full of grace and truth. And there's a great mystery as we gather around the Lord's table and we hear the words of Jesus, "This is my body and my blood." And we take into ourselves Christ. We are made that place where Christ dwells within us. And if Christ is dwelling in me and in you, Jesus says, when two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. Jesus is present with us this morning. I don't know where He's sitting and looking on at us. But you know, there's something special that happens when God's people gather. And when we don't gather with God's people, we miss out on something. Yes, God is present with us. But how much we need one another, don't we, to encourage one another and to build one another up and to know who we are. A little light in a dark place does dispel the darkness, but it's still a little light. But when you put a lot of little lights together, you know, there's a brighter light that shines. The language in 1 Thessalonians, just to take a little aside, the language of clouds should not be confused with a kind of mythical folklore about heaven becoming angels and sitting on clouds and playing harps. I think it's a very unhelpful picture, especially for men who were created to be strong physical beings. You see, the clouds, was a way of expressing an inexpressible theophany. What's that, you say? Well, a theophany denotes the presence of God in awesome glory and power. That is God in three persons. God in three persons approaching our tiny corner of a limitless cosmos. So here in Thessalonians we get a picture of those who have received the gift of God being drawn up into a powerful theophany of God's presence. Not a cumulus nimbus cloud that's going to drop rain, but the awesome power of the glory of the triune God that we're gathered into. And in Thessalonians there, as God's people, those who died first and those who are still alive, are drawn into that presence of God. The word will then speak new creation, new heavens and earth into being. The gift of eternal light is not ultimately a passport to heaven, but a participation in the new creation that breaks into our present reality with a completely new reality. The kingdom of God, in which we participate as the holy people of God, full of grace and truth. And our great commission is to bring just that little inbreaking of the reality of the kingdom of God now, as we reach out and touch others. And we often have no idea just how much we touch others. Because God is present in each one of us. And if there's two together, then God is between us as well. You know, there's a wonderful sense, wherever you are tomorrow morning, that the presence of God is with you. And it only takes one other believer in your office somewhere, even if you don't know them, to know that the power and presence of God is more tangibly present. Because you are the holy people of God, full of grace and truth. So fundamental to our basis of faith is that Christ is coming again. To deny that Christ will return is to deny what is the good news of God's grace to the human race, the crown of his creation, those he created in his image.